Ezra Perek Vav. So we left off as Tatnai and the rest of his cohorts sent a letter to Daryavesh asking that they should check out the archives to see whether indeed the claims of the builders here in Yerushalayim were correct. They didn't pay much attention to the grandfathering in time of the Beit HaMikdash, but they wanted to know if there really had been a decree that was given by Koresh. If there were, then there would be no way that they could cancel it out. And so indeed, Badain, then at that point, Daryavesh Malka Samtaim, Daryavesh the king, when he got this letter, he then issued a decree, and Uvakaru the Beit Sifraya de Ginzaya, they went and checked out the house of the books, in other words, in the archives, in the place Me'achatin Tama Bebavel, where the Ginzei HaMelech were there stored. Me'achatin there, Tama, in Bavel. Remarkably, they didn't find anything in Bavel. Instead, V'yishtekach Be'achmeta Bebirta Dibamodai Medinta, instead, they found in the town of Achmeta, which was at that time the capital of the province that was already the province, Madai, because what had happened was, remember, that Akashverosh, is this not working? A little bit too low. That Akashverosh had created a new capital as part of his new modality of government, his populism, and so on. Didn't want, remember, that's the entire sugya, is that Bavel had to be completely destroyed. And the completion of that destruction, the Gemara in Megillah says, is the Pticha to the Megillah. And that's the complete ruination. At the same night, actually, all appeared at the same time, was the destruction of the Malchut Nebuchadnezzar through the end of Vashti, which had given really the rights of the kingdom to Achashverosh initially. That was gone. Shiekol Ish Medaber Kirshon Amo, that was gone, in which the Lashon of Bavel was no longer the central Lashon, along with many other diukim. And the Gemara, one of the things that he did was he had built a new capital. The building new capitals are like Brasilia did in the 20th century. Brazil built Brasilia out of nowhere. He took Shushan, turned that into his capital. Now, in the move from Bavel to Shushan, there was a great opportunities for destroying the archives, if you had any desire to destroy. And we know perfectly well who had that desire. And therefore, Koresh's original proclamation was nowhere to be found. Remarkable. In other words, that whole first parak that describes, I, Koresh, Shalom Kodesh Maya has given me the entire, no record of it. But what they did find in the other place, which was the capital, which we call Hamatan, there they used to have an additional place, because that was the capital of Madai, and there they found Megillah Chada, V'chein K'tiv Begava Dichrona. And inside of that particular place, they found indeed a Megillah, and there was a description of the Zikaron Dvarim of these issues. Now, remarkably, and this is literally in today's news, remarkably, from that town, which is in today's news, in Hamadan, first of all, Poras, as of yesterday, has formally declared Purim to be a national mourning holiday in Poras for the murder, the cold-blooded murder, now this is serious, of 65,000, the what they call the Holocaust, of the the Holocaust of 65,000 Persians in good standing by the rotten Jews, led by the two famous Jews who happened to be buried in Hamadan. And sent an entire, I mean, obviously it was all spontaneous, but there was a demonstration today in Hamadan at the kever of Mordechai and Esther of 250 students demanding that the place be torn down, that the government is issuing. Now, if you take a look at the Hamadan Chamber of Commerce, this is really hilarious, as you can actually get on the internet and go to Hamadan, okay? So on the internet in Hamadan, they'll tell you all about Mordechai and Esther. But what's even more remarkable, here's a picture, but you can literally get it on the internet in color. So here is a picture, not only of Hamadan, but of the old Beit Hagnazim, where they kept the archives of Hamadan, which is where they found this scroll, which they've dug it up. So this is like this whole area. So all the buildings and homes of Hamadan are around this. And this has been dug up now, right? So the suspicion arises that the very thing that poor Shamshai was unable to get hold of, which were the Zichronot HaDvarim, didn't disappear. And he would have loved to get rid of them. But apparently, this is on the website, Ramadan, apparently, Ramadan was the place in which all of the old kings, and they mentioned these kings, all the old kings, would go there for their summer holiday. So they had a separate summer palace there. And anything that was deposited there, he couldn't get his hands on. Right? So now, for some reason, obviously not a coincidence, Mordechai and Esther were hanging out there, which is why they're buried there. And that happens to be the place where the Zichron Dvorim that Haman wasn't able to get hold of, that he was reading at night that caused the whole downfall of Haman. And this particular Megillah, which is actually, he's Meramis to hear in his answer, Daryavesh, happened to have been stored. Now, difficult to believe that it's coincidental that it was the place where Mordechai and Esther had such a profound connection that that is where their kever is today. But, I mean, this is absolutely crazy.
Is this Shushan? Or is it
a... No, this is not Shushan. This is the summer palace, which was before Shushan was made as the capital. It had a lot of the records because it was like Hussein's palace over here was meant to be. So at that point, the things that had been stored there, they remained there because even when they moved to Shushan, they didn't move those records. They moved from Bavel to Shushan. And that's probably where things were wrecked. And this was actually, and remember, an attempt to destroy the historical continuity. And therefore, it's less surprising than one would think that they didn't have the records, they didn't have the memory. It's like in the Soviet Union. They wanted to be au pair particular memories. They didn't teach people these things. So that, as it turned out, nobody could remember this whole story. Obviously, if we're talking about over here Daryavesh, who himself is a child of Esther, then he certainly knew all about what was going on. And his pretense at trying to find records that nobody knew about is belied by the intensity of his response to the Megillah that was discovered, assuming it was actually authentic in the end, right? But this is now what it is that he found. And this is, now we have a Parsha Petucha here now that begins, which is the quote, without any further ado, I mean, this is very strange, but not for Ezra, because remember, Ezra is a bunch of documents really thrown together here. And so we go right into the letter. This is the document that he found, wrapped up in this Megillah, in Chamta. Bishnat Chada l'Koresh Malka. In the first year of Koresh Malka sam te'en. King Koresh did issue a decree regarding, and this apparently was the way that they would do it, instead of adding the word re, they would just say the first line was what the letter was about. Beit Eloha b'Yerushalayim, as far as the house of God in Jerusalem, Baita yidbanei, the home is to be built, not only the house itself, but atar didavchin divchin, also the place where they bring karbanot, which included the mizbeach. This, by the way, is a big issue, because there were many temples, as we know, from many inscriptions at this time that were rebuilt. It was part of the approach that they had to actually support various religions. It was part of Ahasuerus' business as well. Allow pluralism. Everybody could speak in their own language, and we support all the different gods and so on. But there were many places that they did not allow Korbanot. Even though they allowed a temple, they didn't consider, as a matter of fact, even the Jews in Nov had requested the right to bring Korbanot, and they were denied. Obviously, it was a good thing they were denied. But anyway, it was a conservative shul over there, and they weren't allowed to bring Korbanot. But over here, Koresh says specifically, he wants the Mizbeach to be built. And not only that, Ushoi Misubalim, the walls themselves are to be very strengthened. Rume Amin Shitin. So now what he actually gave them was the architectural diagrams to make certain that the Beit HaMikdash would be the equivalent of the Midot that it originally was. So it's to be 60 Amot high, and Pati Amin Shitin, which obviously includes the Ula, because the Heichal itself isn't that big. Nidbachin, the Even Gilal, there are to be Tlata, three rows of these enormous rolling stones that we talked about, or as most people take it to mean, just shayish, but I really believe that the meaning of Even Gilal is exactly the way we understand now archaeologically how it was that those stones were moved. They were rolled there. And then followed by a Nidbach of a row of A, of wood, Chadat. Now, Chadat, of course, is double meaning. Chadat means new, and Chadat means one. So it might actually mean both here, because most of the wood in the time was reused wood. It was very expensive. Remember, they would have to take everything down from the Lebanon with the rafts and so on. Here he's insisting that it be made out of fresh wood, one row. And Nifkita min Beit Malka Tityahiv. All expenses are to be paid directly from the royal treasury. V'afmani beit elaha, and also the various vessels of the house of God, the dahava v'chaspa of gold and silver, the Nebuchadnezzar han peik b'nei chalat b'Yerushalem, which is all part of the letter, which Nebuchadnezzar had removed from the Heichal in Jerusalem, v'hevel l'vavel, and brought to Bavel, yahativun, they shall be returned. They shall be replaced in the Eichal in its place. And there they shall be stored. Now that is, here we have now a stuma. So again, graphically, the letter is set off. So we see it as a quote when we read the Sefer Megillah. And now, the response to you, the questioners who asked for a response. So that, of course, was Tatnai. Ke'an, and at this point, Tatnai. Bachat Avar Nahara. You, governor of the area of the Trans River, which we said it's the Trans-Euphrates area, Shtarboznai, and your Mr. Vice Pachat, Shtarboznai, and the rest of your crew, Kunavaton, plus all of the advisors, the Afarsichaya, Diba Avanahar, all of you in that district of Trans-Euphrates, Rachiken Harvamintama, keep your dirty hands off of that house. So you stay away from here. Now, we're going to see this a little bit strange, because just two lines later, he's not going to be satisfied or keep your hands off of this. Shavukula vidat beit aladach, you're to allow the work on the house of God, aforementioned. Pachat Yehudaye, the governor of the Jews. Olashave Yehudaye, and those who have returned, the returnees of the Jews. They, and only they, are the ones who beit aladach yivdun alatre, they will build this house of God on its place. Umini simteim. I now issue the following decree, and that sort of is weird because it seems to change what it is that he just said. And that is, lamadita avdun im esavei Yehudai ilech. What it is that you are going to be doing, my dear friends, with these elders of the Jews, lemivne beit elahadech, to build the aforementioned house of God. A minute ago he said, keep your hands out of here and stay away. Now he's saying, I want you to get involved. Malka, the midat avar nahara. I want you to take from the property of the king, out of the taxes of your own district of Trans-Euphrates, and that is to be immediately the lashon of midat. Remember, it's one of the taxes. So we had, it doesn't mean the measurement of, but it's like the below taxes that we talked about, mindat, we spoke about before, is the name of the agricultural tax. This is the shortened form. And asparna nifkata, this is to be done immediately, to go give the nifkata to evimityava, all costs are to be provided, leguvraya ilech, dilalavatala, and I mean this, without fail. Now he's getting very, so the Malbim learns that indeed there is a difference between what was in Koresh's letter, in the sense that the first lines that he was saying over here, and now as to you, Tatnai, Governor Tatnai, as to you, this is what you would have thought had we left things the way Koresh said. However, I do hereby issue a new decree. So you told me to look up the letter. Okay, I looked up the letter. These were the implications of the letter. But that's not enough for me. So first of all, you should know, judging by that letter, you darn well better keep away from there in terms of disturbing anything, making any problems. Furthermore, I issue a new decree that you're also to help and to see to it that the money is given immediately. Now, there's a lot of changes over here, because remember, Koresh's letter, the expenses were to be provided by the central government, which means every time there's a request for funds, it's going all the way back to the capital of Paras, working out exact. By the time you get the money, the whole business has collapsed. So he's changed that, and he said it's to be given directly from local taxes. No, he just issued. He said, I'm issuing a decree. Daryovish issues a decree, and he wants now everything to be local funding, which the governor of the entire region is responsible to provide. Secondly, Koresh never said this is going to be done quickly. He just said, we'll provide the funds. He says, instantly, I want this done, and no failure will be tolerated. So he's added that as well. Furthermore, From Koresh's point of view, you didn't have to do anything. You just had to stay away. From my point of view, staying away is insufficient. I want to see action. So that's the other change. Now, this is basically the way the Malbim understands what happened. Even if we don't say that, I agree it's a little bit forced. I mean, it's not referring, does it refer back to the letter? But even if we take it kipshuto, the idea is still correct in that, first of all, keep your dirty paws off of that place. In other words, first I want to make very clear, you have nothing to say. If I had first appointed you to be in charge of seeing to it that the funding is going to get there, then what would that have meant? Okay, so I'm in charge. The first thing, therefore, that I say is, you're not in charge. You have nothing to say. I don't want you even to get involved. All you do is sign the checks based on what it is that these elders are going to demand of you. That's the point. So even if we learn it without the Koresh issues, it still makes sense. Furthermore, there's another marvelous change, and that is Koresh agreed to provide the expenses for the rebuilding. Daryavesh says, and now the other thing that I want of you, Mr. Tatnai, is Umar Hashchan. What else do they think that they need? This is the Lashon of Choshesh. What do they feel that they need? Find out what they feel they need. And whatever is involved, including B'nai Torin, if they need oxen, or Dichrin, or rams, or Imrin, or sheep, La'alavan la'ar Shemaya, to bring to the God of the heavens, and Chintin, you give them wheat, Melach, salt, Chamar, wine, Umshach, and oil. Whatever they ask for. K'me'imar ka'anaya de Yerushalem. Not according to what you think, according to what they ask for. La'havi mityahev lahom, yom biyom, dilo shalom. Shall be given to them every single day, whatever they need, without fail. This is like a completely new idea. Not only are we paying for the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash, but we also want to see to it that there's going to be avodat yom yom. Dila'avon mahakravin nichochin le'ala shemaya. Because we want to see to it that this is not an edifice complex. We want these korbanot to be brought to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we want these people to be mitzalayin l'chayim al kolvanoi. We want them to be praying for the life of the king and his children. And now I add an additional decree. Umini sim te'im. The next decree is as follows. Tichol enash. And I took my cues from Nebuchadnezzar, the old guy. He had a way of getting things done and making sure that nobody would think differently. I like his language. So anybody, anybody who changes any element of the above decree, yitnesach amin beit, we're going to rip out a roof beam from his house. We're going to hang him on it. Uzekif yitbechelo, and he will be hung from his neck until dead. The Medrash points out, but of course, this is exactly what happened to Amma. So that's the, there it is, Omeid b'beit ha'man, gavach ha'mishim ha'ma, hang him on it. So this was apparently a rather favorite tactic, or according to the Medrash, this actually was pogea. This curse of Daryavesh was an older curse that he was repeating. And it's interesting that the lotion of these curses is actually found all over the area. There really was a lot of formality about the curse, but he wasn't kidding around. Uvaitei nevalo yitaved alvena. And remember the old curse, will turn his house into a garbage dump and a dung heap. So that's after he hangs. Ve'elahad ishakin shemei tama, and God, who has caused his name to dwell in that place, yimagar kol melech va'am, yishlach yedei la'ashnaya, will uproot any king in any nation that sends forth the hands to change in any way, and to lechavala beit ha'adach, to in any way cause damage to the house of God aforementioned, to be Yerushalayim. Ana Daryavesh, it is I, Daryavesh, who summit to him. I have issued this decree. Asparna yita'abed, it shall be done instantly. And that was the end of the letter. Now, this is sort of a closure. And it depends precisely on who we're talking about over here when we're talking about Daryavesh. And the whole sugya in Rosh Hashanah that conflates Daryavesh and Koresh and Artaxata, which Lameisa Rashi learns there, that it does not mean that it's the same person. It means that all three people were called all three names. It doesn't mean that it's one individual. But certainly when we do that, we expect to see various elements that are related, and that's why sometimes we use this name. Sometimes we use that name, and as we spoke about the Medrash earlier, he relates to his own tzivu here. The change in his own tzivu is a continuation of his father, despite the fact that they told him, look, your father stopped us, and he says, well, you know, if he were alive, probably gone ahead. And so therefore, At the end, when we put these together, we may be putting together a unified personality that we can trace throughout the three of them, even though they're obviously very different and went through different phases. Those different phases, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, is that Koresh is called Koresh because he was a Melech Kasher. Afterwards, he changes his personality. This whole sugya discusses in what sense did he change his personality, which we'll discuss. And that the name of the Malchut overall was called Tarshasta. So that therefore we can relate to them in these three visions. Now we know that originally he was a Melech Kasher, and you'll notice, by the way, that he was such a Melech Kasher, we didn't even switch to Hebrew, to Aramaic. And the Gemara says that we count his Malchut from the same time that we count Malchei Yisrael. Instead of Tishrei in Nisan, that's the sugya, which means that we view his original document, even though we quote all the other documents, they're always in Aramaic, even at this point when we quote his document as it's recorded here by Dariavesh, that was the Megillah that they found, it's in Aramaic, not in Hebrew. But apparently the original Achraza, which is seen to be the taking apart what it was that Achashverosh had done, that period in which he had then told everyone they can be Medabrik, Lashon Hamam, and so on, he actually wrote that in Hebrew, possibly, which is why it was recorded here in Hebrew. We didn't at all speak about Aramaic until we got much later. But the Gemara just says that he was ended up becoming not a Melech Kosher, and he changed his personality. It searches around for riot that he changed his personality, one of which was the description of the way in which he insisted on placing wood inside of the walls. On the other hand, of course, he seems to be adding to everything that Koresh had originally said. He's giving the karbonas, yom yom. How can you say that he's a bad guy? Well, he only says that he wants you to pray for him. That's not a good guy, to pray for him and for his children. That's what he says. I want them to bring korbanot so that I should survive. The Gemara proves that you can't say that that's a bad thing, because even if a person says, I'll give tzedakah, I'm not sheikh yebini, that's yareza tzadik gamur. We try to make distinctions between Akum and Yisrael. Of course, it depends on Dariavesh is. In any event, the Gemara has a number of interesting things, which we'll get back to later, the beginning of the next parak, as to why we believe that he was, in the end, Sarah, that he had changed his stripes. But there's an interesting medrash that describes what happened, and it's fascinating, because according to the medrash, the original Koresh's vision, he changed when he went for a tour around the country. This is very weird. The medrash says that Koresh actually initially was going ahead, and he was very interested in rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. More than that, we'll see that the Medrash says that one of the reasons that Koresh was zochet to build the Beit HaMikdash was because he had been mitabel on the Churban of the Beit HaMikdash. So it records as having cried and torn his clothes, and he was very shattered that there was a Churban, and therefore he was zochet to rebuild it. And it's an interesting Medrash because it goes through all of the various kings that had connections to being involved in the Beit HaMikdash on some level, traces back their schus also on some level. So this Koresh goes out. This vision of what happened to Koresh is remarkably part of our Pakod Yivkot. The Pakod Yivkot, remember, we linked back to a break, and that there's always something that collapses after Pakod Yivkot. And then when we talked about the way that this was Domedo de Litzvi, there's another Pasuk in Shir Hashirim that the Medrash is Medayik in, that talks about Kamti Ani Liftoach L'Dodi. So we have the voice of the beloved that is knocking at the door. We get up to open up the door, and Dodi Chamakavar, somehow or other, my lover has disappeared by the time I get up to the door, and there's more that's dripping off of the doorknob from his having touched it. So this, one of the approaches to that, the understanding that pasuk, is that initially Koresh is gozer, that there's going to be a rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash. And then as we open up the door, all of a sudden, the whole thing disappears. How did that happen? So it says the Gemara, it says the Medrash, it happened by the fact that he went out, Yatzak Koresh with Tayel B'Medina, he went out to take a tour. And he sees that the economy has collapsed. B'Medina Shom Mehmet. So he says, what's going on? What's happened to the economy? What happened to the economy? So they say to him, you were the guy who sent out all the Jews and told them to go back to Israel. So of course the economy collapsed after all. Who's running Wall Street? That's a pretty amazing story.
The Damascus collapsed now. Because
really?
The Jews left.
Okay. So in this particular limited sense, it was used to be the whole Medina was famous for its metal work, for its gold work, silver work, and so on, and the diamond industry, of course. Everything got shut down because all of these people, the Omanim, had gone to the Beit HaMikdash. So he went out and he gave a gezerah, b'hai sheisha ata gazar v'amar. All right, only people who already got over the prat, they can continue. Anybody else got to come back home. And that was the story. Now, Daniel, at that point, had gone, and he said, mutaf shenokhal sudat Eretz Yisrael. V'nevarech al Eretz Yisrael. We'll manage. Again, because as the Malba pointed out, he understood, Lemaisa, that there was no intent at that time really to go through with the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, and that it was all a trick to get people to be chazer. He said, great, I'm very happy to come back and have whatever it is that we have as long as I can make him a bracha on the Binyan of Eretz Yisrael. I'm happy with that. So he went back. Lemaisa, as we'll see, Ezra did not go back, and that's the next part that we're going to get to. And that required a whole new license for Ezra to leave. And we'll see why that is a complete change now in the book. Really begins a whole new chapter. But in any event, this is related. And this is happening on so many different levels, if you consider it. Because what's happening back home in terms of Koresh is, of course, here presented as a reflection of what's happening locally because of the Kutim, the Shomroni. Lemaisa, there is, in fact, a lot of Torah that defines the links between the two. We only know about Haman, who's active back there, Shamshai, his son, who is active here with the Shomronim, the attempt to make sure that the license is revoked, and according to the Malbim, the lies in the original letter, and the claim that there's an attempt to rebuild the Kiryah Miradata, the rebellious city of Yerushalayim, and so on. But what really was happening, according to the Medrash, on another level, was that the Shomronim had actually attempted to attack. They have an army of 180,000 people, and they're coming to attack Bnei Yisrael. And so the leaders were gezer on them at that time. The Gemara in Kulin talks about how it took many generations for that gezerah to become completely accepted, to be gozer aleim, that they should be like Akum l'kol davar, and they were given absolutely no rights of Jews. But initially, they took out, the Gemara says it's always a lashon of guzma, 300, but they brought the 300 kayanim and 300 shofarot and 300 sefrei Torah, and they were gozer on them with 300 klolos that they should be wiped out if they ever try to touch the Beis HaMikdash. This was reported back to Koresh. And of course, it tied into his own plans of trying to get things ended. But what happened was when Daryavesh came along, the Medrash says that this Daryavesh referred specifically to those people when he said, Yimagar ko melech va'am diyishlach yedeh. So in other words, he, trying to be metakein now, what went wrong with the original Koresh declaration, was actually, in this pasuk, actively addressing the attempt of the locals to prevent the binyan, and because of that, he gives this message to Tatnai to basically keep your hands off of things and don't you dare get involved in any type of local politics would represent it. So again, this is all part of the tikkun of what had gone wrong with Koresh. It isn't just an isolated issue. So every part that he addresses that we spoke about, how he's added so much to the tzivuyim that Koresh had originally given, they were, in fact, additions that were tikkunim. That's one way of understanding the entire story. And therefore, Edain, Tatnai, Pachat Avar Nahara, and Shatar Boznai, and Uchnavaton, therefore the governor of the Trans-Euphrates area, together with his cohort, Shatar Boznai, and the rest of the group, because of the fact that Kobol de Shalach Daryovish Malka Kenema, being as that is what he said, as we mentioned above, Asparnavada, they worked pretty fast. They immediately went there to see to it that indeed they would help and that nobody would attempt to prevent anything because this was very, very tough language. And this is the type of language that you find actually in archaeological digs, not only by Daryavesh against this particular thing, but it's part of a formalized curse, as we mentioned. This is part two, Yemager. So, at that point, we move back now to what was going on with the those who had returned. Continues the pasuk, v'save Yehudai, and so the elders of the Jews were banayin, they built, and they were matzliach, u'matzlichin. But they were matzlichin because of the nevuat Chagai Neviaya, Zechariah bar Ido, as we mentioned at the beginning of this story. And they were able to vanu, they built, and they were mishachlil, v'shachlilu, min ta'am, because of the decree of, and based on the Hashgacha, Elo Hayisrael, And this Lashon is amazing, as the Medrash points out, it was the Schus of Koresh, that he was Zoche, to be mentioned in this fashion, that he was, and again, Koresh, Daryovish, Artakshasta, different elements of the same Malchus, but that he stood up against those and said that he, Bedavka, wants to rebuild the Bayit, and therefore he was Zoche to be mentioned together, hand in hand, min ta'am Elohai Yisrael on the one hand, and mita'im koresh v'daryovesh v'artach shashta melech paras. So, surprisingly, this is one of the few places that we find such a lashon that is, in a sense, mashva, the power of the Eved to the power of Rab. V'sheitzi baita dina, and so that house was completed. Ad yom telata li'rach adar, the third day of Adar, dihi shnat sheit l'malchut daryovesh malka, which was the sixth year of the malchut of Daryovesh. V'avadu b'nei Yisrael, and so, all of the b'nei Yisrael at that time, Kahanaya, V'levaya, and also the Sha'ar b'nei Galuta, not only the Kohanim and the Leviim, but all of those who became members now, those who had been there, and we'll see even those that had been later on, those that had been even non-Jewish and ended up joining up, and were mafresh themselves from the Tumat Goyim Ha'aretz, they ended up making Chanukat Beit Elahad Dina B'chedva. They made the Chanukat Abayit with great joy. Now, there's a question about this idea of Chanukah. It's very interesting that this particular period, the Ramban actually brings that the particular period is really merunas, that there would be this break between the original Koresh proclamation and finally when they're able to come back and to really do what it was they needed to do. And he understands that you find immediately after it, first, it says in the Pasuk that v'zacharti et briti Yaakov, and so on, that it sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ready to finish the Galut. V'zacharti et briti Yaakov, v'ya'aretz eskor. This v'ya'aretz eskor sounds all right, so now we're going to rebuild. All of a sudden it says v'ya'aretz te'azev me'em, the next Pasuk, which doesn't make any sense. Why is v'ya'aretz te'azev me'em? So remember, as we mentioned back in Daniel, that this same thing happened with Daniel. There were two completely separate sets of chatoyim that needed to be addressed. And Daniel thought that because there was a tikkun on the inyan of the elements of Avodah Zarah and the other things that he was addressing, so the Shivim Shana from that point was already a tikkun, and therefore the Golus itself would provide the tikkun. That's when they started doing teshuvah. And that was, as we saw right away with Yoyachin, that was the teshuvah that was so effective that in the end, Shealtiel is the one that gives birth to the new binyan, where he wasn't even supposed to have been born. So, okay, originally Daniel thought that's Shivim Shana, is the tikkun of an entire lifetime. And now we're able to come back. But what he misunderstood, and this was merumas in the words of Gavriel to him, was that you're forgetting that there was also the chait of Aretz Te'azev Mehem, that needed to be a tikkun for all of the Shemitahs that had been missed. And that required Shivim Shana of actual Chorban, not just of Golas, in which there would be no more working on the land. Therefore, we have now, says Rabban, the Aretz Te'azev, I mean, he doesn't point this out, I'm just relating it to the things that we had seen before in Daniel, that in Aretz Te'azev Mehem, Ramaz, ki acharei pekidat Koresh, nezva mehem v'ratzta hashmitot, ad acharei tshasrei shana shenivna habayit. Because that's really how long it took. It's really 4.5 years if you analyze the beginning day and the end day. There's another half a year in there, which means that it was actually 19 years to include the tikkun of all the Shemitot. And it was at that time, we'll see in Nehemiah, that they were finally able to be Mekadesh Ha'ir B'Shtei Todot, V'Chozru Kedushat Ha'aretz. That's when Kedushat Ha'aretz came back. And that became part of the Amanah that we're going to see later on in Nehemiah. Was at that point, the rebuilding of the walls, the reconstruction of the Kedushat Ha'aretz. And then it says, in fact, that they all made a brit together, that they will be notesh nata shmita and masheh koyad, and so on and so forth. So that was precisely at this point, and therefore it's also a remnant to the particular events of this galut. Even though, of course, each galut has its process of what elements need to be mitukan during the period between the original pekida and the end. Here, the Torah actually in that brit, which the Ramban is mechalek between the brit and vayikra and the brit and kitavo, that those britot are referring to two different binyanim, the binyan ha'atid. But beautifully, this ties into this interim period in which they're not getting the land going yet, They haven't been able to rebuild the Chomot Yerushalayim. They've rebuilt now, finally, the Beit HaMikdash. Now we're going to get ready to actually come back, be Rimakadish the Oretz, that was Kikshu, to be, once again, to be counting Shmitot V'Yovlot, and we'll talk about that in a minute, because Lechora you can't count Shmitot V'Yovlot, certainly Midioraita, if there's no Kol Yisrael Alev, in Pashtus, it was not Kol Yisrael, it said Yehuda Binyamin. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But we now have a tremendous Chanukat HaBayit. Now, this Chanukat HaBayit, as the Malbim points out, ends up being specifically in Chodesh Adar and continues on until the time in which, according to Yechezkel, the Chanukat HaBinyan HaShlishit is going to take place. Why is this? Because they are hoping that when they're making this Chanukat HaBayit on the Bayit Dinah, on this limited Bayit, since in the vision of Daniel, we saw that there was a chance that this Bayit would grow into the ultimate Bayit, so they were hoping that if they would continue, then the Binyan HaShlishi would come down from the sky and everything would be great, and then they could make the final Chanukat HaMikdash, and because of that, they were hoping it would be not. As we know, of course, that is not what happened. And instead, there was only the temporary binyan, which is the binyan hasheni, because they weren't zeicher. We spoke about how it was that there wasn't enough of a response, people didn't come up, and then the whole thing collapsed into sinat chinam, and so on. Because it takes place, but davke in this period, because of that, says the Malbim, that's why it needed to say specifically that it was Bechedva. Because the Chedva, otherwise, if they just would have done it, we wouldn't have realized that they had outshined Purim. Comes out that this took place during Purim, this Chanukat. This is, if somebody asks you, tell me the one time that Hanukkah came out on Purim, it's exactly this. The two of them, we have Hanukkah and Purim together. So therefore we say the Chedva, the particular, is Rosh Hashanah, Mishloach Manos, all interrelated beautifully. And hopefully we'll see more of that when we get to Nehemiah, about how there's a tremendous amount of tikkunim that are going on. But in any event, the hope was, at this point, that additional simcha, which was part of the change in which Purim had already changed our entire vision of what Geula could mean, that would be shalim. Now we're going to see that this is really the reason for the transition into the next parak, because they did not realize yet that their vision of tikkun, which they thought could go directly from having at least been makir, the inyanim of choshech at the time of Purim, and the tikkun of Purim, would allow them to go directly to the binyan hashlishi. What it turns out that they were missing, remarkably, was a man named Ezra. And everything that Ezra did was specifically to address what was missing at this point, and that's why he appears only now. Everything until this point was really all during the period of Pekidah, which is exactly what goes on today. In other words, the reconstruction of the vision... that's a Gemara, you can't use that as a bat. The reconstruction of the vision didn't happen. All that happened was a recommitment to the things that we had been committed to originally. In addition to making a tikkun of the things that we understood went wrong. But as the Gemara points out, the things that went wrong were very simple things. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayah, Shvichas Damim, small potatoes. The underlying serious issues, like Lashon Hara, the understanding of what it is that the Torah wants from a person, none of that had been dealt with. And the truth is that, of course, as we've pointed out many times, none of that had been dealt with because the beginning of Torah Shebaal Peh only begins now, really. That's why we talked about why we have Masechet Avot, only now. Shimon HaTzadik, Bishiyori Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, is the first one who has anything to say in Masechet Avot. And none of the Nevi'im had anything to say. And Moshe Rabbeinu had nothing to say. And all of the people that had been Mekabel from Moshe, nobody had anything to say until the end of the period of Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. What is the significance of the end of the period of Anshei Knesset HaGdolah? Shiori Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. First of all, the relationship to the Beit HaMikdash itself is a very strange thing. What do we now have Terah and Kahuna interrelated? That's exactly what happens with Ezra. Terah and Kahuna is interrelated. This Ezra HaKohen that comes up. But in a very profound way, what most people don't realize is that, as the Rambam says, and this is very nogeh in the Otiot of the Shem of Ezra, as the Rambam points out, the Beis Din of Ezra, who was the 22nd generation, was the 22nd in the list of the Rambam's Mekablim from Moshe Rabbeinu. And he was Mekabel from Achiah HaShiloni. Ezra u'Beit Dino are called the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. So in other words, all of the tikkunim that we understand were really the absolutely drastic changes in what it meant to be a Ben Yisrael, how we related back to Kabbalat HaTorah. Yes, Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim. But that Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim was the theoretical acceptance of the Torah Shebaal Peh that Tarchum Matosus points out that had gone wrong at Har Sinai because of Kaf Aleihem Harchagigit. The first approach to deal with Kaf Aleihem Harchagigit was the recognition of Purim in which everybody was ready to accept their own commitment to Torah Shebaal Peh. But that is an undertaking of thousands of years. Ha'am sholchu b'choshech ra'u or gadol zeh tamud shabavli. That means that all of these things are only going to take place, and that they didn't even conceive of the fact that they were just at the beginning of a massive process of reconstruction of paradigms, not simply being mitakein maasim. That there's no way to rush, really. And therefore, what it was that they thought was bound to be disappointed, such that the Beit HaDina had to remain only Beit HaDina in the fashion that it had been taken on. And taken on is an evolutionary process instead of a revolution. As an evolutionary process, it can take thousands of years. The only way that there would have been a tzad to take on the Daniel vision, in which there is a chance, that chance is the Achishena. And that Achishena is a response to extraordinary circumstances in which there really is revolutionary change. With all of the attempts, min hashamayim, to create revolutionary change and to tear Klal Yisrael out of the basis of the way in which they viewed Torah and they viewed mitzvahs and viewed God himself, it never worked. Up to and including the Holocaust, never worked. Despite the fact that the power of what had been done destroyed the entire environment, left people bereft of anything that had been, it always led to an attempt to reconstruct what was instead of to make something that was different. And obviously, the more you attempt to reconstruct, the worse it gets, not the better it gets, because your reconstruction is never even as good as the thing that was destroyed in the first place. There's no way that such a thing can work. And yet, that is the underlying nature of human response to tragedy and trauma. Let's try to put things together again. And as we saw, that was the vision in the beginning of the book. Let's try to put things back together. The Shavei Tzion will put things back. Putting things back is what takes us till the end of this parak. At the beginning of the next parak, we're starting anew. We're no longer putting things back. Therefore, we have new... completely new, of course. That's why they're called Anshei Knesset HaGdola. Because, obviously not, L'Achzira Tara L'Yoshna is to take the words that had been said initially that had been dropped by the Nevi'im because it wasn't understood. How could we possibly say when it isn't true? And we don't even see that. And to change the whole tefillah of what we're looking for. It's a massive contrast. And it's a massive contrast that leads to such unbelievable change that even our connection to Eretz Yisrael is a completely different connection. The initial connection to Eretz Yisrael was through power. The vision of what it would mean to take Eretz Yisrael back was through power, not through mind, not through interrelationships, not through what accepting the Umay Zaylan that they could have Shlita. It was all a question of Kivush. The Kivush, as we saw, as the Rambam said, the Kivush was Batel, because since the only idea is it's yours as long as you're holding on to it, if you're not holding on to it, it isn't yours by definition. That means that you need to reconstruct in your mind the original Koach Ma'asavi Gidla Amo to make the Kinyan of Eretz Yisrael dependent on achievements of intelligence and consciousness, not on the power of arms at all. Which is why this didn't have anything to do with Kivush. It's a different way of looking at the world. And therefore, in order to make that power of mind and that change, that required the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, who started the whole vision of the greatest achievement is internal. And of course, this reflects back on the original loss of the Aseres HaShvatim versus Yehuda and the breakdown that was between them, in which they had those alternatives. The Aseret HaShvatim was very focused on, in the end, and were successful, as we pointed out back there in Malachim, were very focused on what could be achieved through the power of the identification of Yisrael as a power in the world. In the end of the period of Yehuda, this was all because of the breakdown at the time of Shlomo. The breakdown at the time of Shlomo was an attempt to put those two things together. the grandeur of the Malchus of Shlomo that expressed itself equally on the Chacham Mikol Adam, the incredible, the reputation that he had, in which entire Malchut would come from all over the earth just to hear his Chachma, as the Pasuk says. Not to mention the power, the physical power, which is mentioned here as well. The great kings that used to rule here, we can't have them back, is what they're worried about, back in the warning letter to the king. They used to rule over everything here. Then what's going to happen to this whole area? Again, those two things broke down, when Shlomo broke down, into two completely different streams. One of which was the Aseres HaShvatim, the other which was Yehuda and Binyamin. Because of that, Yehoshaphat, by the time of Yehoshaphat, they weren't even interested in arms. They would burn captured arms. We don't use arms. We don't need arms. Either we're going to win because we are who we are, or what's the point anyway? This was the exact opposite of the Aseres HaShvatim. Now coming back, we're coming back essentially as Yehuda and Binyamin in a secondary position to the Umay Sa'ilam with their permission. But because of that, the Kedusha's Arts is in Bata, which is remarkable. So in a way, it's a more profound Kedusha. It doesn't require you to hold on to anything. It requires you to be who you are. At that point, Kedusha Rishonah, if you pass Kedusha Rishonah, Kichalashatav, Kichalat, Tidlavo, so that it's more Chomer than the original Kedusha that was through Kedusha. The Maisa, the Rambam, is Machalik even more. That the Kedusha that is in Bata is the Kedusha of Shechina, particularly. Therefore, it was Ageya Dafka Yerushalayim. And that's why that, until the binyan of the Chomot of Yerushalayim, according to him, and according and the way that he understands the actual halacha, of where is there really still Eretz Yisrael that has the Kedusha, that has the Kedusha that is never Bato, that's the Kedusha Tabai, as opposed to the Kedusha Ta'aretz. And so, because of that, they immediately recognize that what they're doing over here is a Chanukah Tabai, which, by the way, is a very interesting Ramban, who learns out from the Parshat Anisiyim. He's not sure. He says, but I think it sounds like, because when you read the Pasuk, it says, Nasin, Yakrivat Korbano. He says, Yakrivat Korbano sounds like a Tzivoy. Not that they came along to bring a gift and then, okay, let's give everybody a day. But rather, that if there is a Chanukah Tabayit, then you have to bring a gift. And so because of that, he understands that this was to be Mekayim, perhaps a Chiyuv D'Oraita, of you need to make a Chanukah Tabayit. And because of that, it makes sense that they brought Korbanot that were not part of any Tzivui. That's exactly what we see in Yechezkel. Yechezkel is full of insane Korbanot that violate Halacha, until you realize that what he's talking about is specifically Korbanot and Dinim that were Nogea, the Yemei HaMiluim, just as the original Yemei HaMiluim of the Mishkan had special dinim that, as the Gemara says, is sha'a. You can't learn out darot mi-sha'a. That's completely different halachas. Exactly as were the special halachas on the day of Shmini Lemiluim itself. And therefore, after bringing the special korbanos for the Chanukat Beit Elohadana, Torin Ma'a, 100 korbanos of shor, Dichrin Rams, Matayim, 200, Sheep Imrin, Arba Ma'a, Utsifirei Izim, Si'irim Lechata'a, Alko Yisrael, Treasar Leminyan Shiftei Yisrael. Now this is remarkable for a number of reasons. First of all, what is this? The Si'irim is a Chatat. For what Chatat? So there's a Tzat to say, and the Gemara considers the possibility, that we're talking over here about Si'irei Avodat Kochavim, which is the din when a Beit Din is Moreh Hora'a. So then a Kapor on the entire Yisrael that comes from, at least according to one man, the Omer, each of the Shvatim brings one korban, and that would be Treyasan. There's a lot of problems with that here, because of course it's not only a Sawyer, it's also a Par. You have to bring Par Lo'ila. Furthermore, it wasn't done by Hora'ah. All of this is only specifically for Hora'ah. Not to mention the fact that it does not appear to be Treyasar Shiftei Yisrael over here. So, okay, the Gemara ends up understanding that this is Hora'ah Sha'ah, just like the other Korbanot were, but that doesn't change the fact that there clearly is an attempt to address the chait of all of the Shvatim. So if you hold, as many of the Rishonim do, that the Aseret HaShvatim were not represented here, so then this was once again an attempt at restoration. So that at least in bringing Korbanos to be Mechaper on the Aseret HaShvatim, we recommit ourselves to having Aseret HaShvatim. But the truth is that Tosfos learns, he brings a raya that Yovel was Noheg during the Midoraita, during the time of the second Bayit, which doesn't make any sense if there's no Aseret HaShvatim. Therefore, he learns that, of course, there were Aseret HaShvatim. It's just that they were only individuals. They weren't represented by the entire Yishuv of Aseret HaShvatim, but there were people from all Aseret HaShvatim. We mentioned earlier in the Perek, which we went through the count, that according to one shita, that's the reason that the count doesn't add up, because the count was only of Yehuda and Binyamin. And then from the rest of it were people that weren't entire families, but that they had in fact been come up from the Aseret HaShvatim. If so, that this was an actual attempt to recreate Kedushat HaAretz, so that it would be possible after they rebuilt Yerushalayim to actually begin being Mena Yovel and Shemitah La'alacha, not simply as a memory. This already is a big machlokas, has to do with a lot of Gemaras and a lot of Rishonim. Ve'ikimu chahanaya biflugaton, ulevayaya b'machlokaton, al avidat elaha debirushlem, kichtav sfar Moshe. Furthermore, just as it says in the Sefer of Moshe Rabbeinu, milvad mimim karav elahavot. So that, what was that? Says the Gemara. What did the avot sell to each other? Ata biyomcha v'ani biyomi. And that means already that there was a remez that there can be takanot that come from within the tzibur that are binding for all generations. That din is why they felt that they had to go through once again the setting up all of the mishmarot. But says the Gemara, if you read through the list of the people there in the Kohanim, there were only four Mishmarot out of the 24. So where in the world would they have got reconstituted the Mishmarot? Therefore, the Gemara understands that they did in fact reconstitute the Mishmarot by breaking up each Mishmarot to six parts. And they gave the names that were given of the Fashkuri, Meret, so on in the second parak, where we had the list of those four families. And then they were mitakein, that if the other families ultimately come up, as they did to some extent, that they would then be secondary to the people that were now in charge, because these people were Moser Nefesh, to come at the early stage, and when you get in at the bottom, you get in on the floor, you get your name on the whole thing. So the rest of them ended up now getting their Mishmarot back, but only sort of secondarily to the Mishmarot that there. And therefore it caused the beflugaton, Leveya b'machlokoton. There's a difference between Levi, where there's divisions, and I think that the difference is because Levi has, they are divided. They're divided because you're not allowed for one person to do what it is that another person does. If one is a shoher and one is a mishorer, you're chayev mita min hashamayim b'dei shamayim for changing your job. That is real divisive. So we can call it divisions. Others have different explanations, that the Levim maybe weren't, their jobs were given out ad hoc when they came in, and therefore we can't call it Levim. I think this approach is much more reasonable. And then there was a special recognition. Of course, this is, we know, the reason that Purim is put into Adar Sheni is because we want to be Madbik, the two Geulot, the Geulah of Purim and the Geulah of Pesach. And that's exactly what they did. So having made now the Chanukat Habayit HaSheni during Purim, and continuing on through Adar, Vayasu b'nei ha-golat ha-pasach, v'arba'a asar l'chodesh ha-rishon. And this time, even though we saw there were other periods in which they were not metayer themselves, when we get to Yecheskel, we'll discuss it. Ki hita'aru ha-kohanim v'halaviyim ke'achad, kulam torim. There were all of the requirements of Tahira that they had gone out of their way to take care of. This is remarkable because it means that the Levim did the Shechita. La'acheyem ha-Kohanim means, as the Mefarshim point out, that even though Mi'ikar Hadin, the Shechita is kosher for everybody, in this particular Pesach, the Levim took over the Shechita. They did the Shechita even for the Kohanim. Vilahem. Now again, this may be part of the special response. This is pre-Ezra, the special response to those Levim that were Moser Nefesh to come, and that stood in for all of the Levim to give them a special schus, that they were the ones that stood at the top at this point. Because we find, as the Gemara points out, 24 places in which the Kayanim themselves are called Levim. So we want to express the fact that it's Shevet Levi. That's the essence. And then we have the additional Maila of the Kuna. Vayochlu v'nei Yisrael, hashavim mihagola, together with the Chol hanivdal, mitumat goyei haaretz aleihem. Most understand this, the Gemara understands it clearly to mean those who had originally had a suffic geirus, or who hadn't been megayir at all, who wanted to join up with the Bnei Yisrael, and they now completed their geirut, they too ate from this korban Pesach, Lidrosh Ladonai Elohei Yisrael, to come and to be Doresh, the truth and the emes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore came to join Klal Yisrael completely. Vayasu Chag Matzot Shivat Yamim B'Simcha. Because they realized that this Simcha was the equivalent of the Simcha V'Yitziat Mitzrayim, who wanted to be Madbik themselves to it. Ki Simcha Madonai, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given them such immense happiness, now that they could see the nisim that had been done for them, that allowed this to take place when it was that I remember. And originally, they were miserable and they didn't feel simcha. There were entire groups that leave out the word lohodot. But having seen the incredible response of what had originally appeared to be another attempt to put an end to everything, and then suddenly came back with a letter that not only allowed them to continue building, but completely redid the commitment in providing funding and a commitment to bringing karbonas. It was an absolutely astonishing thing. And they sensed the Hesev Lev Melech Ashur Aleihem. Now, this is weird. Melech Ashur. What in the world? Ashur has been gone for a long time. What is the Melech Ashur doing here? Melech Ashur Aleihem. So, it's interesting. It's a beautiful Ebenezer. The Ebenezer says the reason that we want to mention Melech Ashur. Melech Ashur Lemaisa is, of course, Artaxat, because he now, as the king of Paras, rules over Ashur. But because of the fact that Malchei Ashur had gone to be Machrev Eretz Yisrael, you remember the extent at which, I mean, the damage that had been done by Sancheirav, and the way that they had destroyed everything except stopped at the very last moment from destroying Yerushalayim, that it's meant to be that now he was coming to be mitaken what Melech Ashur had done, specifically. Therefore, he felt a specific need to rebuild that which had been destroyed. That same Medrash that goes and talks about the zechut of Koresh, because he had cried over the Beit HaMikdash, the zechut that Nebuchadnezzar was given to be the one that could be marked with the Beit HaMikdash because of Evel Merodach, and remember the whole story in the Gemara, and Nebuchadnezzar had gone and had walked 4 steps because he felt it wasn't right, not to mention at the time of Sancheir, not to mention HaKadosh Baruch Hu first, before he mentioned Chizkiyahu, and he ran to catch up with the guy. It's that type of small zechus that puts a person into a historic position. Ashur as well is mentioned here because of the fact that min ha'aretz yatza Ashur, all the way back at the time of the original Bavel and at the time of Migdal Bavel, and Nimrod, Ashur didn't want to have any part of it. And they left in order not to be part of the whole rebellion of Nimrod. Because of that, Ashur is zeicha to be mentioned over here as part of the tikkun of Bavel, even though now it's Paras and Artaxat. The remarkable, remarkable medrash that puts the entire historical setting together in such a powerful way.
It's when they go into Crete Ninveh. When they leave and Crete Ninveh.
Yeah, exactly. That's when they go to Ninveh, which becomes, of course, the Makor of Teshuva. That's where Paro ends up from the same Pesach, where he becomes king of Ninveh to teach the world Teshuva. So it all relates here to the Melech Ashur. But another possibility that the Rabbag brings is that the reason that we want to mention Melech Ashur is because he holds that indeed Aseres HaShvatim had come back. Enough to be maskir Melech Ashur. So now, as your new position of Melech Ashur, the ones who had taken away the Aseret HaShvatim are now the ones who were maskir Aseret HaShvatim, and therefore relates back to the 12 korbanot that had been brought from all of them together. And this is what they realized when they remade that korban Pesach. And so because of that, he came lichazekideyem b'melechet beit Elohim Elohei Yisrael, to strengthen their hands, and not only not to prevent them, but to actually be a strength to them through the Melech in rebuilding the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the God of Israel, who is specifically mentioned over here, Elohei Yisrael, because this now is the beginning of the tikkun of that terrible loss of the Shem Hashem, which was a Mechulal during this entire period, and now it becomes again Elohei Yisrael.